Hey, so thank you for doing this. It's very much appreciated. And really the point of it is to kind of get to know the local candidates in Christchurch. So I think that's probably a good place to start, really. And behind every billboard and name and all that is a person. So please tell me a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Liam. Thank you for having me. There's a lot about me, I can say. So I was born in Somalia, which is in the east of Africa, if people don't know. I'm one of nine. I'm the oldest of nine. I came to New Zealand in 1990 on the 6th of August, a very cold day. I live in Christchurch. I've been in Christchurch all the time. Most of the time I've been in New Zealand.
Wow.
I came as an asylum seeker, which is someone who comes in within the country and then you seek refugee status.
Mm.
So most people know about the quota refugees, which means the commitment that New Zealand made to the world and they comes through the UN. But there's other categories, people come to New Zealand. So I came and then I sought an asylum. It took for a while, like about 18 months, my case to be heard, and then decided. So then I got my, what they call the convention refugee status, which means you are a refugee, but you're here. So that's how I ended up coming to New Zealand. Then I've studied English language, and I used to go to Christchurch Polytechnic, it was called then. Then I moved to Nelson to do my nursing. So I studied nursing and then became qualified in 1996. Since then, I've been working in the health field. So I'm really quite passionate about, you know, primary health care. And the well-being of our individuals and communities and the investment we make. So for me, healthy community is really important to me, and it takes in different forms. So what else? I'm married. I'm married and I've got a daughter who's 20 years old. She is Somali Pakeha. My husband is from here. So I've got a strong connection to Christchurch. I got strong connection to Christchurch East. We are quite a big family, as you can imagine. We are nine. So of them have gone to Shirley Primary, Shirley Intermediate, Marahau High, Marahau Primary School, Avonside Girls, Shirley Boys.
So really east.
And just even sometimes I think I joke about it and people look at me like, I even say my mother buried in the east. So the east is sort of like, will not let me go.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So really Christchurch East is very close to my heart. I have worked in the east for about last sort of like 13 years. And going to people's houses really opened my eyes to see how people live in, not only in New Zealand, because usually I think most people, most of us, we got a sort of like a limited life, whatever we do. We got a job, we got our, you know, workplace, we have friends, we have families. So sometimes we just spend certain area because that's just actually what we need. But then becoming a health coordinator, then I had the opportunity to go and see people. And that was after the earthquake. So to see the damage of some people's houses, it was quite eye-opening, you know, the isolation. People who really lived most unimaginable poverty, because I think sometimes we're measuring poverty level against other countries, third world countries. But when we talk about people not having enough heating to keep themselves warm, when they really have to plan the whole year according to the climate, when people settle in one room for the winter to keep them warm, and they sleep there and they eat there because they can't warm up their bedrooms, where I've seen the carpets really have so worn out, the original pattern is gone. it was, and people eating, you know, takeaways, just saying to me, like, I have to go and buy Chinese takeaway because I got more for my money, because I can eat over two nights, when those people are people who really need healthy food, especially when they're diabetic. So that affects their sugar levels, which if you're on insulin especially, you really need to eat a more, you know, balanced diet, which is carbohydrates, protein, you know, low sodium, you know, low you know, sugar, salt, all the things that we say people to be healthy, people can't afford it. And to eat, you know, takeaway, that was, I couldn't believe that how much people were struggling.
Yeah, right.
And we're telling people to be healthy, eat healthy, and people were saying to me, I can't afford. It's not that I don't know. It's just I can't afford. I have to eat whatever I can.
Yeah, right.
Coke is cheaper sometimes, like 99 cents on sale, but milk will be over $3.50, you know, the cheapest, or sometimes can go even to, depending the brand. People were in debt, like loan sharks, you know, people owing money for things that is already, you know, like if someone had a family member who died, that they paid for their funeral cost, which is a basic decent thing to do. People were in debt for that. And so it was really interesting going and seeing people in their own natural environment rather than coming to you in a service provider space.
Yeah, right.
You know,
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah.
And so is that what really motivated you to get into politics?
I think that was the earliest probably I could remember thinking this can be happening and this has to change, and the policies made by the people we elect them to represent seem like they don't know or have a little knowledge about the decisions they're making, the impact it has on people. It was poorly informed decision, because they wouldn't make decisions like taking away a free prescription if they know the impact it had on real people. For example, if you're on five different medication, which is not uncommon for people.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Right? You talk about $25, right?
So
and then you talk about contraception, you know, and one of the things that the National Party is talking about stopping that, that means that you're increasing the risk of unplanned pregnancy and all those kind of things. So the reason, those were the things that informed me that actually people who are making decisions on our behalf do not understand our needs.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so yeah, that was really, and then going through the March 15, and then, I was part of the first responders, you know, on Linwood AF, so I was working that day, and I went there, so I'm from the community, and to see, not only from a human being point of view, which you see people hurt, but people I knew from our community. And then when I was part of the Royal Commission inquiry, and there was then I understood actually it wasn't only the physical safety, but it was about the system safety, where community been feeling that for a long time they haven't been listened to. I personally haven't had an experience I could say, and this is the experience I had, say, for example, the police or anything like that, because I have never been, I always felt safe.
Right, okay.
But sitting back and assessing how did we ended up in the March 15 tragedy, and the things that we're feeding behind the scene, where people are saying they felt unsafe to go for walks. People saying that when they come through the immigration or the custom, they feel like, you know, and what do you call it, discriminating, and sort of like given a bit of a harder time. The police not taking them so seriously, you know, when they complain, and you know, used as a freedom of speech. There were so many things have informed me that I wasn't really aware of it, because things were not simply quote unquote like black and white.
Of course, yeah.
You know, it's not like somebody shouting from when they're driving past you, but actually where you seek a service, not getting the right service or people understanding, even simple as like after the shooting, some of the police, the constables or police staff did not understand the basic information, what I think or we think about Islamic funeral, which is...
Right, yeah, yeah.
Which is 24 hours burial. They did not understand, and it was just actually staff, frontline staff were telling people, this is crime, this is just, you know, and the people were so distressed and said, we don't care what happened, we want to bury our dead. So that was the misunderstanding. Not misunderstanding, but the lack of understanding of a basic thing you would think somebody who, in, you know, as a police officer, you will understand that. And crime happens all the time, people killed. I assumed they would have the training, different cultures, different ethnicity, what this death means to them, how do you manage it? So it was a lot of, it was quite a big learning curve for me.
Yeah, right, right. Wow, I can imagine.
Mm.
I want to talk about Christchurch East for a little bit, because, you obviously know it well. Never lived there a long time. What do you think are kind of the biggest challenges facing that electorate?
I don't live in Christchurch East myself, now. I have lived there and I work there, so I just want to put it out there that I don't live there. So in case somebody says, do you live here? But what I think, and talking to people, is that, and it's always really important to avoid the risk of putting all Christchurch East together, because it's quite a diverse community. Yeah.
Really interesting point,
quite diverse community. So some area is still the earthquake impact hasn't been addressed.
Mm.
So like, for example, I went to South Shore the other day, and the estuary, walking on the estuary, that the erosion of it, you know, where the sea has come under the trees and the trees have exposed, so like these beautiful old trees get exposed and they're dying slowly because of the saline.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Some of the people who were there were talking about it, how they feel Christchurch East has been left behind when it comes to cycleways, you know, the bridge hasn't been fixed, you know, it's just well overdue, you know, not only fixing, but it's due for replacement and all of that. And feel like Christchurch East sort of like really left behind compared to other parts of Christchurch, you know, where they have cycleways, they feel like they're not listened to. And then there's the other parts that where that people are talking about income, because like when I talked to someone else, she was telling me that how she ended up being on casual basis job, and she got a phone call to say that you need to do this job, and she just said, I can't go because I don't have petrol in my car. So this becomes like the chicken and the egg for people, like they can't work to earn.
Yeah, right, of course, yeah.
And they can't earn it because they don't have transport.
So it's a cycle, really.
It's a cycle,
yeah.
And we hear some people blaming people in that, finding themselves in that position. So what is most important, that's why I'm saying that it's quite a diverse community, Christchurch East, is that everybody wants healthy homes that warm and affordable, you know, a safe climate where the communities, you know, like are prepared for, you know, climate change, where the cities or the area is really safe, and oral health, all the things that everybody else needs. Like that's what Christchurch East also needs too.
Really, really good point. I want to talk about the environment for a sec, because obviously, you're a Greens candidate, and people often think about climate change and the environment when they think of the Green Party. But also, Christchurch East itself has a massive amount of coastline and can be quite flood-prone and all that as an electorate. In theory, the Christchurch East would benefit a lot from a lot of the Green Party's policies. How is that going to actually look when people see that change? What's it going to look like?
The Green Party always talks about climate, and there's the, you know, there was a policy came out, you know, announcement on last Sunday about talking about the ocean, ocean protection, which means 30% of the ocean has to be protected by 2030, I think, from memory. As a Green Party, we have a plan for having a minister for the environment, and it's a minister for the ocean, I should say. So we have a policy for the communities to be more prepared. Mm-hmm. So like that's what I was talking about, the estuary that needs to be actually addressed as soon as possible. We talk about the one of the values of the Green Party is that appropriate decisions. So the Green Party is it's a national sort of like party, not a national in the blue, like that way. But it's really important that it's a local, this locally driven
decision. Right.
So it's not something that Green Party can dictate from somewhere else, but the community themselves have to lead, and the communities have to be listened to. And that's why it's really important that it is something that the community drives, but the communities have to have the resources.
Yeah.
And also the resources that already been allocated to be used as soon as possible.
It's a really good point you raised there, actually. And yeah, it makes the whole idea of electorates quite an important one, I think. Anyway, I want to turn a little more positive now.
That's great.
Christchurch East, what do you think are the biggest opportunities for the people and the livelihoods and the businesses out there?
It may sound some people that I make this statement, but it was just like I was, you know, falling in love again with Christchurch East. Like on last Sunday, walking around the estuary, walking around, you know, the New Brighton Beach and the pier. It's the beauty when you stand there and you can see all the way then in the Southern Alps, and you look to the left and you can see the Port Hills in a beautiful day. And people were fishing in the estuary. It's absolutely most beautiful, I think, suburb. Christchurch is a beautiful place, but it's so beautiful to have all those things in one site. It's just how, it's like almost, yeah, we just feel like if you could bottle that feeling it's just amazing coming with all this, you know, and images. It's a place really for that. I've seen a lot of young families, so it's a great place for raising families. Everything is very handy, you know, it's not far away,
you know,
close to the city. The transport is really good, you know, the buses routes. You're close to the beach. You're close to the rivers. A lot of young families there, and it seems like people are really enjoying themselves when you see kids playing on the playground, you know, parents having coffee not far away. You can see you can sit there and see the sea. And it's quite a generally affordable suburb, you know, a affordable area, really. And it is such a, I feel it's been undersold how beautiful it is, you know.
I totally agree with you. And final question, and I've been asking all my guests this question. Music, what are you listening to at the moment?
I like listening to music, but I listen to my Somali music, which is really old and scratchy, and other people don't enjoy it. But I like listening to lyrics, because to me, lyrics are most important part of music.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it makes sense to me. But I love Nina Simone.
Great answer. Great answer. Yeah, Nina Simone.
Yeah.
I mean, he's hardly anyone better, really.
And yeah. I love the one, I Put a Spell on You.
Oh, that is a beautiful song.
And I Put a Spell on Crush It East.
And on that note, hey, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
It's, yeah, really appreciated. And I think you've raised some really beautiful and poignant things about Christchurch and Christchurch East as well. So, yeah, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. And it's really important, this vote, this election, that we all go out and vote. Because to me, democracy is the best thing we have.
Mm.
And voting for what you believe, regardless, is most important thing. And it is time. It's the time now. So please give us your party vote to Green. So thank you very much.